Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be with you all this day. It's wonderful that it was possible for us to be able to come and join you, to worship you this morning. God moved in amazing ways to make this possible, and we are so glad to be with you this morning. The scripture reading, or the scripture for the passage I want to preach on, comes out of Joshua chapter 1 and 1 through 11. Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 11. This is what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come this morning to worship you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts now by your Spirit, according to your purposes for us, for what you have out of this passage for us. And we give you thanks, we give you praise, for you are to receive glory and honor. You alone are worthy of our praise. Amen. Well, as you know, we live in Japan, in the northern island of Hokkaido, of Japan, called Hokkaido. And it's in the city of Sapporo, so that's where we live. But this past June, Shelley and I had the joy of celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary. We had plans of going to Okinawa to celebrate this momentous milestone, an island we hadn't yet visited of Japan, you know, the way down south. But instead, because of the COVID restrictions, we were not able to go to the beaches of Okinawa. But instead, we were able to book a hotel in the south of Hokkaido, the island we live on, in Hakodate, and close to a beach. The management, as they heard of our 40th wedding anniversary, actually surprised us and upgraded us for free up to a suite way on top of the hotel, and so we had a beautiful view over the bay and over over the city. It was a gift from God for us too. But what a special time we were able to enjoy reflecting on God's incredible faithfulness to us as a couple and as a family over these past 40 years. Praise to His holy name. In our wedding vows 40 years ago, right here, and in this special church, and you know, this place has so many memories for us. In our wedding vows, and then some of them, quite a few of you have been there, not all of you, but as several of you have been and were there. In our wedding vows, Shelley and I promised each other heaven on earth, as it were. We soon realized that were it not for a loving and gracious God, the strong main strand in the cord of our relationship, we would never have made it in view of our selfishness and our sinfulness. But we do have a faithful and loving Heavenly Father who gave Himself in Christ to us and leads us and guides us by the power of His Holy Spirit. And only because of that can promises like the ones two people in love will make to each other for life together endure. Now, after 40 years of marriage, we are looking toward a new phase in our lives in the coming years. Retirement, the golden years, right? As they call it. And more than ever, we need God's merciful and gracious undertaking and leading for what He has in store for us. What is waiting in store for you? Where are you at this time in your life? Are there milestones ahead to be celebrated? A fork in the road? You have to make a decision where to go? It will influence the direction of your life. In regard to contemplating the future, my dad used to quote this saying by a German poet. And he would say, erstens kommt es anders und zweitens als man denkt. Firstly, things turn out differently, and secondly, as one anticipates. This captures, in a way, the experiences we all have of the constant changes in our circumstances, which we cannot foresee or control as much as we might want to. And have we not experienced that, especially these past 2 years with COVID? Dave McDowell, the pastor, the longtime pastor down at College Church, in his short book, The Goodness of Affliction, puts it this way. He recalls some of his thoughts as he was watching a sunrise come up on an early morning trip that he was on. And he said, I am amused that for some, something might take place this day that would change life forever. Life would never be the same. Someone might die or receive a diagnosis of terminal disease. Someone might discover a spousal affair or get divorced. Someone might get fired or go bankrupt. Whatever the event, everything would change. Yes, life is fragile and change is a part of our human experience, whether we want it or not. In our text today, Joshua and the nation of Israel were at a crossroads in their lives. Moses, their beloved leader, had died after leading them for 40 years in the desert after their escape out of Egypt. They finally are about to enter the promised land. A new chapter in the history of the nation of Israel is to begin. Yet, the outcome is not at all guaranteed, at least from the human perspective. The land they are to occupy is filled with many greatly fortified cities inhabited by fearsome people. And on top of it, they are supposed to cross the Jordan River, and that river was at flood stage. And as already mentioned, their experienced leader, Moses, was dead. The nation of Israel as a whole, and of course Joshua in particular, found themselves faced with challenging, almost impossible circumstances. Many of us might face similar situations in the changing circumstances of our times, which challenge our plans or the direction that we're going in. So what are some of the principles that we can glean from this interaction from Joshua with his Lord that might help us in our circumstances as well? Yes, circumstances keep changing. Most of us do not like change. We like continuity, predictability, and we often get upset and ruffled when things go different than what we had expected. However, reality is that life is forever changing. This is what Joshua faced. In verse 2, God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." This is the reality. What was reality yesterday is not what it is today. Today, you are faced with a new reality. Moses is not here anymore. We know from the last chapter of Deuteronomy that the Israelites took important time of a whole month to mourn the passing of Moses. But life does not stop with yesterday, and God prompts them, "Now then, you and all these people, get ready." In other words, God tells Joshua, and he tells us, life goes on, and there is something God has for us to do still. So let us not dwell too long on that which has passed, but let us look to what is ahead. In Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus tells his disciples, those who would want to follow him, something very similar. He says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So God tells Joshua, "Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them." In other words, face your future I have prepared for you. But let me also be quick to point out, God does not call us to face our future on our own. In verse 5, we read, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." What a wonderful promise for us to hold on to. God is with us. And because he is with us, we can face the future he has prepared for us. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, charged his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples. And he concluded with the same promise, didn't he? "And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." This is the promise of God to us, his followers. We do not need to face our future and all the obstacles that seem to be in a way alone. God is with us, and he has a plan for our lives. As the prophet Jeremiah assures us, those plans are to prosper us, to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. A long time ago, Shelley and I purchased an exercise videotape. That shows how long it was. It was a VHS videotape, right? I don't remember much of the details, but one of the things that really stuck out was the instructor's repeated phrase when the exercises got challenging. "You can do it," he would say. So it has become a standard phrase for us, of course, whenever we face something challenging to tell each other, "You can do it." So in a way, at this junction in Joshua's life, God is saying to him, "You can do it." But why can he do it? And God answers, "You can do it because I am with you. You are not alone." God not only assures Joshua of this presence, he also tells him how he is to go about this, facing his future. In verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous." God repeats these same words two more times and so gives it much emphasis. In verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous." And then in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Notice the progression to the point where God does not simply tell him, be courageous, but have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? What does that mean, to be strong and very courageous? Does it mean for Joshua to do anything he wants to do and whatever he feels like doing and do it with gusto, unapologetically, sort of like Frank Sinatra in his famous song, I did it my way? Is that what God means when he calls us to be strong and courageous? No, far from it. God makes it clear to Joshua what the essence of the strength and courage are to be. Verse 7 and 8, he tells him, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I'm sure we have all heard this phrase and have thought and meditated on it. To be strong and courageous is based on believing in the Creator God, believing and obeying His word, standing on and trusting His promises. God, being the author of our lives, has given us His word, His instruction book of how to live. It started with the Ten Commandments written on the stone tablets that Moses brought down from the mountain. And through the guidance of the Holy Spirit over a time frame of 1,400 years and through over 40 different authors who recorded their experiences with God, God has spoken to us. Through this word of God, which we call the Bible, God shows us the way to a true and faithful life. To live life by God's principles takes all our strength and courage, as Jesus clearly pointed out. He said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. He takes our full and continued commitment. Joshua is instructed to carefully study and know God's law. In the very same way, it is crucial for you and for me to know the word of God. For it is in His word that God reveals His way through Jesus Christ for us, doesn't it? His way and the truth and the meaning of life. Do you make it a point to read God's word every day, meditate on it? And why is that important? You might have heard of the illustration of how a banker is trained to identify counterfeit money. Is it to study and know about all the schemes and forgeries of money that have ever occurred? No. In order for the expert to recognize counterfeit money, he has to study the genuine article to the very core. He has to know every little detail of it perfectly, so that when he encounters a forgery, he can recognize the deviation in a second. In the very same way, God tells us to study His word, the truth, very carefully, so that we can recognize falsehood and the lie immediately whenever we encounter it. So let me ask you this. What is the first thing you go to in the morning? Do you wake up and immediately go to the internet and see what's happening in the world, in the newspaper, or on the device, check out my latest emails? Or do you take time to set the compass of your life with the truth of God by aligning your thoughts with the truth of God's word to lead you through your day? Hudson Taylor, the founder of our mission, said it this way. He said, do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the word of God and prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him. God desires us to have a personal relationship with Him, a trust relationship with Him. Only that way could Joshua live life and live life and what God had prepared for him to do successfully. In verse 8, God tells Joshua, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." It has occurred to me that, you know, Joshua was always with Moses and was always together with him and has seen Moses at work and how he dealt with things. At this point, I think he would have been maybe about my age or maybe even older. He wasn't a young man anymore, but he was definitely asked again. And so I need to know that myself again. This is so important. God puts it on his mind into this. What God is saying here is simply, trust me and what I tell you. Trust me and what I tell you. I guess that would be the way to say it. When two people fall in love with each other and begin a relationship, can you think back to that? They think of the other person the whole time. At least that was the case in my situation. I could not get Shelley out of my head. People in love talk with each other, share with each other their thoughts and hopes and views of life. They start to get to know each other in a very deep way as they reveal their hearts to each other. Step by step, they start to trust each other. They start to know what the other person likes or dislikes, and they will often bend over backwards to please the other person. Now look at how Jesus talks about his relationship with us in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus talks here about a complete trust relationship between him and his followers. That is what God desires for you and for me. There is yet another aspect of being strong and courageous that I would like to point out. In verse 9 of our text, God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So being strong and courageous then is not to be frightened, not to be dismayed. You all know that we human beings often get afraid. We often battle with discouragement. In fact, fear and discouragement are maybe some of the greatest hindrances for us to go forward and make progress in life. Many of us will never attempt something because we are afraid of what others might say. We might look to approval from others more than we look to God for his approval. But that is a trap. Proverbs 29:25 says it clearly. "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." And another fear that seems to hold us back is the fear of failure. The Brazilian author of The Alchemist, the famous novel apparently, said it this way. He said, "There is only one thing that makes a dream impossible to achieve. It's the fear of failure." In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." And in 1 John 4:18, the Apostle John reminds us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The man who fears is not made perfect in love." All this then confirms that if we operate and act out of fear, we are not acting out of faith and trust in God. We have let the devil trick us into inaction and timidity. Where in your life, where in my life, do I operate out of fear today? Is there something God has called you to do and work on, but you keep on putting it off because you are afraid of what others might say or because you think you might fail at it, then you need to go to God, repent of sin, and ask God to fill you anew with His Spirit so you can move forward in your life. As we have noticed at the beginning, circumstances of life keep changing continually. And in our lives, we will have trouble, just as Jesus has said. He says, in the world, you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And the phrase before that is so important. It says, I have said these things to you, that in me, you may have peace. That's what we're looking for. Rather than panicking and giving up because of fear, we are called to face these challenges with the trust and faith in God, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He has promised to be with us. Let us obey His command and go forward in His strength. The book of Joshua is actually a very good illustration of what is being said here in this first chapter. Notice in verse 10, it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. It certainly was not the best time to cross the Jordan River, for as we said before, it was at flood stage. We all have seen the images of rivers at flood stage and the devastation that that can cause. And you can imagine that some people were pretty much afraid. But in obedience to the word of God, Joshua had his people get ready. Now, I want to emphasize this point. Joshua moved in obedience to what God had told him. This was not just a crazy idea Joshua had dreamed up in the middle of the night, though some of them might have thought that way. So yes, let us be sure that when we move, that we move at God's prompting and in obedience to His call and command. God confirmed Joshua's obedience and made a miraculous way for them to cross the flooded Jordan River, as we can read in chapter 3. Of Joshua. Then a little later, we read that in great faith and trust, they walked around the city of Jericho in obedience to God, the way He told them to, and then shouted at the given moment. And again, through God's doing, the walls came tumbling down. But we also read in this book, sometimes the Israelites did things according to their own strength and without consulting the Lord. The results were always disastrous, and they had to live with the consequences of their rebellion and sin. But God did not abandon them. If they confessed their sins, consecrated themselves again to God, obeying His commands and faithfully doing what He told them, they prospered again and conquered their enemies. In fact, again and again, we read that God fought the battle for them. In our strength, we cannot do anything. But as we come to God and expect great things from Him, God will make a way for us. He did as He did for Joshua and the Israelites. To quote Hudson Taylor again, he said, "You do not need a great faith, but a faith in a great God." In conclusion, the challenges we face today, especially as we seem to find ourselves in a period of a time, as Isaiah describes it, where people call evil good and good evil, people who put darkness for light and light for darkness, as we find ourselves in this kind of situation, God's instructions to Joshua are just as pertinent for us as it was for him then. The question is, do I trust Jesus? Do you trust God to have the very best at heart for you? If you have never told Him so, will you do it? by confessing your sin, your disbelief, accepting his love, his forgiveness in Jesus Christ. If you have accepted Jesus into your life sometime in the past, but today you find yourself in compromising situations, or you find yourself afraid of the future, riddled with fear, will you dedicate yourself anew to trusting Jesus and his way for you? If you have a hard time with being consistent, reading God's word, listening to him, and seeking his presence, will you ask God to help you, fill you with a new hunger to know him deeper and better? God says to you and to me, be strong and very courageous. It takes courage to follow God and do what he says. He takes all our attention, all our strength. But he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen.